We're going to look to God's Word this morning, and I know probably starting a little later than normal with many testimonies and songs, and I'm thankful for the way the Lord has organized our service, but I want to encourage you to listen today, to try to the best of your ability to hear the Word of God today, to listen as the Lord would speak, because I believe the Lord wants to speak to our hearts today, and so I encourage you to try with the best of your ability to listen to God's Word, to hear what is being said today. I'm going to read the 31st Psalm today. So we're in the Old Testament. Psalms can be found directly in the center of your Bible. And so grab one, open it up to about the center. I remember my mom teaching me when I was a little kid in Sunday school, if I wanted to find Psalms, just open up to the middle. And most of the time it worked. And so Psalm 31 is a Psalm of David, and it's the psalm of a man who was going through great difficulty. And when you read it, that's very evident. Something I love about the Psalms is how the psalmist was always so honest with the way that he felt. That he would be going through very real trials and very real troubles at times, and he would be honest as he cried out to God or sang his praises, and his perspective would change on life, but he was just real, and he is real. And so the psalmist is going through a difficult time here, David was. It's a longer psalm. It's 24 verses. We're going to read it in its entirety, but we're just going to talk about a couple of them today. But want to read the entirety of it for its context's sake. So it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regarded lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them which fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nonetheless, thou heardest my voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Forgiving my mistakes, that's the 31st Psalm. And I'd like to just have a prayer if you'd bow with me. Gracious God, Holy Father, my rock and my fortress. I'm thankful today to be able to take refuge in you. And as the psalmist cried out to you in this psalm, in the midst of his trials, and in the midst of danger, in the midst of those that he thought loved him turning their backs on him, he found refuge in you. He found strength in your grace and in your presence. And his perspective was changed because of your presence in his life. Today, I pray that that would be the case amongst this body of people that has gathered here today. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. There's a lot going on individually and personally in our lives. If we went around and were honest with what was happening in our lives, we could spend many hours. But God, you know us intimately and personally today. You know the depths of our thoughts. You know what is the inner workings of our soul. And today I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would enlighten our minds, that you would make tender our hearts to the movement of your Holy Spirit and to your presence in our life. I pray, Lord, that we would see what it is that you want us to see, that we would hear what you want us to hear, and that we would understand your word and the truth contained in your scripture. Lord, we need your help and your strength to do it, and so we come before you today and ask you to be our guide. Let nothing be said, nothing more or less than what you would desire to be said. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to reread just two passages of Scripture, actually just one and a half. Verses 14 and the first part of 15 will be the main focus of our thoughts today. Verse 14 and the first part of 15 says this, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." Now, the title of my message today is "In Your Hand." In your hand, which is clearly taken from that passage of Scripture. And I want to look at the three statements here made in the middle of this psalm as David found himself in great trouble and great sorrow and cried out to the mercy of the Lord. Yet even in the midst of his sorrow, he was able to find strength. He was able to find an eternal perspective in the midst of those things because he understood and saw the presence of God with him. And he really saw his situation compared to the God in which he served. And so I hope God helps us to have that kind of perspective today. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives get so grand and so big and so troublesome that we fail to see through the immediate storm to see the bigger picture. That God is at work, and that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that no matter how helpless the immediate circumstances may seem, that God is greater and bigger, and he can do anything above and beyond anything that you can think or imagine. Okay? God cannot be limited by the boxes that we put him in. Sometimes we think, well, God can't do this or God can't do that. I want to tell you today that God can. He can do all things. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is always present. God can. And so if you have him in a little box today and limiting what he can do in your life or your family's life or this church's life, I want you to know that we are limiting, we are trying to limit a limitless God, okay? He is bigger than those things. And so I hope that we see that today. Three statements that were made here that I want to look at that will be our guide as we look through this. And we're going to go through them kind of backwards. So the first part of 15 says, "My times are in thy hand." My times are in your hand. Okay, so that'll be the first one we look at. My times are in your hand. The second one is right before that where he says, "Thou art my God." Okay, he says, "I said, thou art my God." And the first one is, "But I trust," or "I trusted in thee." Those will be the three things that will kind of guide our thoughts today. First of all, my times are in your hand. I don't know of a more comforting reality than that, okay? I want God's children today to just take a minute and to consider that reality, that your life and your times are in God's hand, okay? Because the world today teaches a much different message than that, right? There's a lot of different world philosophies and a lot of world religions that teach a lot of things about why your life is like it is and why things are going on that are going on and what you're here for and what's your purpose and where's your going. The big existential questions of life, many people have tried to answer them. The psalmist understood the reality that as a child of the king, his life was in God's hand. And I want you to see that today. I don't know what all you're going through. I don't know what is all happening in your life, but I can promise you that if you are God's child, that your life is in his hands. Today, each and every one of you, I hope that you understand that. My life is in God's hands. It is easy to say that when we are living in prosperous times, right? If life is going good, if the checks are coming in and they're covering the financial need, when your family's getting along and your children love you and respect you, when the sun is out shining and everything is right in the world, we say, thank you, God, my life is in your hands, right? But when storms come and when life turns its ugly head and the checks aren't adding up and the children aren't being respectful and things aren't going exactly like we want, it's a very different thing at that moment to have the faith to be able to look at God and say, God, my life is in your hands. Now, the reality is, whether we can acknowledge it or not does not detract from the truth that our life is that our life is in his hands, right? Good, bad, in the middle, our life is in God's hands. Now, some people today believe that our life is in the hands of fate, okay? This has been being taught since before Jesus came, and it will be taught until the end of this world, that people believe that all of the events of life are determined by a cold, merciless, impersonal fate, that everything is sealed, all of the events of life are already going to take place, it is cold, it is impersonable, it is a blind force, and that there's nothing that we can do in the midst of it. We just grin and bear it, right? We just go through it, and we try to do the best that we can. And so there is much of religion and world philosophy that teaches that idea. I am thankful as God's child today that that is not a reality that I believe to be true. That I'm not being guided by this blind, impersonal fate that has dictated everything that happens in my life. Second thing that many people say, and probably more people in my circle of influence, say that our lives are just determined by chance, okay? That you are a random accident, right? That the only reason you're here is because of billions of years and unfathomable chance that has taken place, and all of this, these molecules and atoms and everything has just evolved into what you are today. You are just a random thing that has happened by chance over the course of billions of years. That you have no real purpose, that everything that happens in your life is random, that something goes on, it's just coincidence, it's just random, everything has no purpose, has no meaning, it just randomly happens, okay? So those are two kind of poles of what people believe. It's just all determined by fate, it's cold and impersonal, and you just roll with it, or everything's just by chance, right? Nothing has any reason, nothing has any purpose, so we just go about randomly doing all of this stuff, and things happen randomly. Well, the Bible tells us something very differently than that, right? Than either of those things. And I'm thankful today, and I draw great comfort as a child of God, knowing that my life is not determined by a cold fate or by a random chance, okay? But that my life is in his hand, right? David had to understand that in the midst of this darkness, when people were turning against him, when life was at its worst, he said, I trust you, my life is in your hands. Today, I am thankful with David that I can say that my life is not trapped in the grasp of a blind, impersonable force. Whether that force be chance or whether that force be fate, my life is not trapped by those things, but my life is in his hands. Whose hands? My life is in God's hands. Amen. It matters, right? Who is? God's hand. That is where my life is today. And I want you to understand the ramifications of that. And I can tell you that you can lay your head on your pillow at night and sleep in peace when the reality of the fact that your life is in God's hands comes to fruition inside of you. When you understand that, when that is a reality that you understand, and you're laying down, not saying, oh, this stuff is happening by fate, or this is just random chance, but you lay your head down on your pillow and you understand that God is in control. There is a great peace and security that comes in our minds and our hearts and our lives when we understand that we're in his hands. Whose hands? God's hands. Who's God? The Catechism says this, and I think it says it well. God is the creator and sustainer of all things. Okay? All things that have been created, God spoke them into existence. God created them. By his handiwork. Not only has he created all things, but he sustains all things. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Okay, let me read that one more time. Creator and sustainer of all things, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Okay? That is whose hands that we are in today. Not fate, not chance, but that infinite being who is God. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient, and he is omnipotent. We talked about this the other day at church, right? The three omni statements of God. They sound big and theological, but what they mean is that God is all-powerful. All-powerful. That's omnipotent. He is all-knowing. He knows things before they take place. He knows the future from the past. He knows it all, right? God knows all things. And he is omnipresent, meaning he is always present. No matter where you may go or where you may be, God is there. He's always present. He's omnipresent. Okay? God is all of these things. And understanding who he is and understanding that our lives are in his hand brings the greatest comfort to the believer because they know that God is working all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. You're in his hands. There's nothing greater or more securing than that. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10 says this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Okay? We serve a sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing God today. And my life today, and I shout it to the rooftops, and I shout glory to his name, my life is in his hands. So when things are going good, I don't have pride in that, because it was because of the hand of God that things are going good in my life. When things are going bad, when there is uncertainty, when there is challenge, when there is strife, I don't sit in self-loathing, I don't sit in fear, because I know that my life is in his hands and that he's in control. Praise be unto God that we don't have to live in this roller coaster of emotion. I know we do. Easier said than done. Let's be honest with ourselves today. But we don't have to, because we know that the sovereign God of heaven is in control and is all powerful and that we are in his hands. Now the reality is we don't always see what he's doing or what his eternal purposes are that are going to stand. That is God's work. That's not us to know, right? But we know that God is good. We know that God is gracious. We know that he is working all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. And so in knowing that, knowing who he is and what his purposes, what some of his eternal purposes that have been declared in Scripture are, even though we can't see all the details of what's around the corner, we trust him, right? We trust him, and we know that our life is in his hands. Listen, that's the first statement. My life is in his hands, and that's where we'll spend most of our time. The second one was, you are my God, okay? So he said there in 14 and 15, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. You are my God. My times are in your hands. So this all-powerful, all-knowing, always-present God is a personal God, okay? I want you to know that today. Some people have said that God or this divine being is just some cosmic principle or cosmic being that sits in heaven and does not care about what's happening down here. He's just spun it all to existence and then he takes his seat in heaven. I want you to know that is not the God that is declared and revealed to us in Scripture. God is a personal God. And when he created man to be in relationship with him. Okay, that was his design. When he created Adam and Eve in the garden, it was that they would live in fellowship with him. And so Adam, before he sinned, walked with God and talked with God and communed with God. And his purpose in his creation was to bring glory to God and to enjoy his presence forever in personal relationship with him. That is God's design for mankind. But because sin marred that, and Adam fell from that perfect state. Sin marred that because God is perfect and holy. And so we have fallen from that perfect state, but that does not negate the reality of why God created us to be in personal relationship with him. So yes, he's all powerful. Yes, he's all knowing. Yes, he's always present. Yes, he created all that we see and sustains all life. He is infinite and eternal. All of those things, yet he is a God that is a personal God, and David understood that. He said, my life are in your hands, and he says, you are my God, right? God was personal to him. One of my favorite psalms that I read all the time, Psalm 139, verse 13, he says, you formed me in my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, right? Tells a different story. That you're not just here by chance, that you're not just here with no purpose and no direction, but it tells of an infinite God who knitted you together in your mother's womb, that created you with love and with purpose and with direction, that you have a reason for being here, and that you have a creator that cares for you and desires to be in a relationship with you. That's the truth. He knitted you together. He loves you. He goes on in that same passage, verse 16, he says, your eyes, talking about God, the psalmist says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. He said, in your book were written every one of them. What was written? The days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. What? Right? It's hard to wrap our minds around an all-knowing, infinite God, but we must hear what we read in Scripture and see it and rejoice in it. God knew our days and had written them down in a book before they even existed. God knew us and formed us and had purpose for us. Oh, that's a lot different than a merciless, cold, impersonal force driving our lives. But now we see the reality. The truth of the matter is that we have an eternal God that formed us in our mother's womb with purpose and with intent and with value, created in his image to have a relationship with him. God created us in that way. You know, the message of the Bible, it really is one message from cover to cover. People have tried to divide it up and say this, that, and the other, but the message of Scripture from cover to cover is really the same thing. The overarching purpose of the Scripture is the revelation of who God is and his plan to restore the relationship that was broken with him. Through and by who? Through and by Jesus Christ, right? From cover to cover, Old Testament to New, Genesis 1 to Revelation, whatever it is, I can't think of it right now, 24, I think. Check me on that. But you see, the message of Scripture is this, that though that relationship has been broken because we are sinful and God is holy and those two things don't go together, the message of Scripture is that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die a death and to pay a penalty that we could not pay, that what? That we might be reconciled to him in Jesus Christ. It's a message of God's redeeming plan for man, that he still desires to be in relationship with us for all of eternity, to once again commune with God, to once again walk with God, to once again be his people and our God, that he might wipe the tears from our eyes. The message of Scripture is that Jesus came to accomplish that very thing, to restore us to God, to restore that relationship that Adam once had in the garden. And praise be unto God, Jesus accomplished that on the cross of Calvary. He defeated death and sin. And today in Jesus Christ, if you've been forgiven and you are in him and have a relationship with him, then he has reconciled us to God. He has restored our relationship. And though it is still marred by the sinful flesh, one day this sinful body will return to the dust of the ground and we will be perfect and holy with him for all of eternity. Amen. What an amazing story. Church, get excited. I'm serious. Think about this. I know we do it Sunday to Sunday and we talk about it over and over again, but I pray that we don't get callous to all that God has done for us in restoring us to relationship with him. That yes, we struggle. We still live in a fallen world, right? There's sin all around us, and I hate sin as God hates sin. It divides families. It destroys homes. It breaks people's lives apart. And we see it, and we are around it, and our bodies are still fallen in it. But the reality is that God one day will call an end to it all, and he will make all things right. And those that have been safe and secure in Jesus, those that have been saved by his grace, will have that perfect restored relationship with him in heaven forever. Forever. What glorious good news. Jesus saves. Victory was won at Calvary. I know the end of the story. You ever read the end of a book before you start? I don't like doing that. But the good news is in the Bible is that the victory's already over. Yeah, there's going to be some bad stuff that happens in between because of sin and what we have done before God. But the end of the story has already been written. It's already been sealed. Jesus won, and those that are his will be with him for eternity. And every nation and every tongue, there's going to be black people and brown people and black people and yellow people, and everyone, all the nations around, will circle his throne in heaven with perfect glorified bodies, and they will praise him for all of eternity. I look forward to that. To the day where there is no more sin and there is no more suffering, and we don't have to cry and weep with brothers and sisters that are going through such awful things in this life. I can tell you one day he's going to make all things right. And I look forward to that day, and I'm thankful for the message of redemption that the Bible tells us about. That there is restoration, that there is reconciliation, and that once again we can have a relationship with God. Praise his name for those things. I've quoted it before, but Romans 8, 28. So our life is in his hands, okay? David knew that and understood that in the midst of his troubles, that his life was still in his hands. Not fate, not blind chance. God is all-powerful and all-knowing and always present. He's a personal God, right? The psalmist David in Psalm 23, one of the most quoted psalms ever, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He didn't say he is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. The Bible declares that. But in that psalm, David wasn't saying he is the shepherd of all mankind and everyone that he created. No, it was very personal and intimate to David. He looked at God and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," right? He's a personal God that wants to be in a personal relationship with you. And in Romans 8, 28, he says, "I am working all things together for good to them who love him and are called according to his purpose." And let me read that, make sure I got it right. Yeah. "And we know," listen, "and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." I'm thankful I read it. Okay? So, all things, he's working together for good. That means the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? That means in the midst of the storm, when we can't see past our immediate circumstances, we have a sovereign and an all-powerful God that is working all things together for good. And it doesn't matter if I can see it or not. Most of the time, it's not ours to see, right? But we know that our life is in his hands, and we put our trust in God, knowing that he is working all things together for good. He is. I've given the analogy many times. Haley testifies of it. She's picked up on it. She likes it, of a tapestry. I had the opportunity to go to Vatican City, and that could be a whole thing to talk about in and of itself. But on the walls, you go through this one hallway, this one room that is massive, and there's these tapestries that are massive and beautiful and depict these biblical stories. And they're just the biggest things you've ever seen in beautiful, bright colors. They're really amazing. And you go down this hallway just for, seems like forever, and these tapestries tell the story of Old Testament and New Testament and biblical stories and these beautiful pictures. But if you look behind those tapestries and you look at the back of it, you know what it looks like? A bunch of things all over the place. You have no idea what it is, right? It's just a red thread and a blue thread and a green thread and this thread and every thread. Well, the reality is in life, oftentimes, in our circumstances, all we see is the back of the tapestry. We see the threads going here, there, and everywhere, this color, that color. We don't understand why they're doing or what they're doing or why it's going on like it is. But on the other side of the tapestry, the side that God sees, is a beautiful, vibrant picture of a sovereign God working all things together for good. And I want to encourage you today that if you only see the back of the tapestry and you've gone to a place of self-pity and frustration and anger and confusion, I want you to know that your life is in God's hands. And that though we don't see tomorrow, He is working all things together for good. That brings us to our last point and we'll be done. Also in Romans 8, Paul said this. He said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." How can someone say that? Someone especially like Paul, who saw prison cell after prison cell and beating after beating to the point of his life for proclaiming the gospel. And yet he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Why can he say that? Because he understood what David understood, right? That his life was in the hands of God. That he was his God. And he was going to trust him even in the midst of his suffering. Paul, especially in the New Testament, talked to those things. Again, one of my favorite passages in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though," listen, "though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So he said, my external body is perishing. I bet as we went around the room today, especially those of us that are getting older, we could testify to that reality, right? Our outer man is perishing. It's crumbling. And there's nothing we can do about it. It doesn't matter how religious we are or how close to God that we are. Sin is taking its toll. It is the punishment of sin that our bodies now are going to return to the dust of the ground. They are going to perish and they are going to break down. Our outer man is perishing. We will all face death one day. But Paul, in the midst of his suffering, said, "Though my outer man is perishing, my inner man is being renewed day by day." An eternal heavenly perspective that though outwardly he is perishing, God is renewing him on a daily basis inside. He says, listen, I always laughed at this. He said, "For our light affliction," he called his affliction a light affliction. What? He had affliction like I can't even imagine. And yet with this perspective of his outer man perishing and his inner man being renewed daily, he said, "But for my light affliction, is which is but for a moment," right? Just a vapor, just a mist, "worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." While we look not at the things which are seen, listen to this. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to say again to you that are so consumed by the immediacy of your circumstances, that if your life is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, though the storms may rage and the floods may rise, your house will stand. Okay? But if you've built your house upon the sand, if you've heard the words of Jesus, yet you've not acted upon them, that is like a man who has built his house upon the sand. And when those same winds blow, and when the same river rises, while the one that is founded on Christ shall stand, yours will crumble to the ground. Okay? And our lives might look very similar. Jesus wasn't giving a construction lesson there, although it was a good one, right? A foundation matters. But he was giving a life lesson, and he was giving it in very simple terms so that the people could understand that if you aren't founded, and he said, those that have heard the words of Jesus and followed them are like those that have built their house upon a rock, and those that have heard the words of Jesus yet did not do them are like people that have built their house upon the sand. And though those houses look very similar, and for the most part, on most days, they probably could have been lived in the exact same way with very little distinction, the same houses with the same people living a similar life. But when did the difference come? When could you tell the difference between the two houses? Not on a day-to-day basis, but in the day that it was the day of challenging, right? The day of the storm, when the winds began to blow and the rains began to fall and the river began to rise. It was on that day of testing that those houses became very evident which one was founded on a solid foundation. And it was the one that was founded upon Jesus Christ. Listen, we're all going to get bad phone calls with bad diagnoses. We're all going to get bad phone calls of people that we loved and care about that have left this world. We're all going to go through things that are awful and horrible and that are hard and that are real. And I don't want to make light of any of those things because I know a lot of you are going through a lot of stuff. But I want you to know that in that day of testing, when the phone call comes, or when the family breaks apart, or when all of these things are happening, those that have built upon the rock your house will stand. And this light affliction, though it is but for a moment, cannot even be compared to what God has in store for us in the time to come. I know people say it all the time, but it is so true. The best is yet to come. My times are in His hands. My times are His hands. And so when things are good and the sun is shining, I don't take pride and say, man, look what I have accomplished. Look at my home, look at my bank account, look at all that I have done, because I know that they are good by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. And when times are bad and when affliction comes, and when things are tough, I don't sit in self-loathing or self-pity or wonder what is going to happen. I know that my life and times are in His hands. And I, like Job, say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. My life is in His hands. The eternal sovereign God of heaven, my life is in His hands. And I will trust in Him. That's what it comes down to, right? Trusting in Him. If you've never trusted your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to know that today could be that day. Christ has accomplished all the necessary work to make you right with God, to make your home heaven. But all that Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary and dying for your sins has no bearing on you until it has been applied to you personally, until you're in Jesus Christ. And today Jesus has accomplished it, and now He invites you. He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Me. That's the message of Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. If you want to know what it is that I have to do, it is to go to Jesus Christ, who has done all that is necessary for you, that has satisfied the justice of God, and now invites you to Himself. Go to Jesus. Trust your life to Him, right? Good times, bad times, ugly times. Say, Lord, my life is in Your hands. David said, I commit my spirit unto Thee. Pray today that you would do that. For those of you that have been saved by His grace, I pray that you wouldn't be so distracted by your immediate circumstances that you forget the eternal purposes of God in your life, that He's working all things together for good, and that you trust Him today in the midst of the storm. God bless you. Let's have a song. As we stand and sing, I want you to consider what it is that God has said today. I appreciate your patience and attention as we try to declare God's word today. Just be obedient to Him.